As we've been reporting, Congress has a lengthy list of priorities since returning this week, but it's been the administration's operation in Venezuela and what to do next that's dominated conversations on Capitol Hill.
We get two views tonight, beginning with Michigan Democratic Senator Alyssa Slotkin, with whom I spoke earlier today. Senator Slotkin, welcome back to the NewsHour.
Thanks for having me.
The Vice President, J.D. Vance, today dismissed the War Powers resolution that was advanced in the Senate and called the War Powers Act it was based on, he called it a fake and unconstitutional law. President Trump posted on social media, "This vote greatly hampers American self-defense and national security, impeding the president's authority as commander-in-chief." To which you would say what?
Well, I would say my guess is the reason they're complaining so loudly is because it was a bipartisan vote. We had five Republicans who voted with us who also agreed that if you're going to go get the United States into a conflict, if you're going to go, quote unquote, own Venezuela, another country, you've got to come to Congress according to the Constitution. So I think they're complaining loudly because they don't like how the vote went. And that means we're going to be voting on further pieces next week on this War Powers resolution. So, again, it's something that Democrat and Republicans presidents always sort of chafe under. No matter who they are. And I wouldn't be surprised if we went back and saw if Mr. Vance was advocating for war powers issues when he was a senator.
President Trump told the New York Times that the U.S. oversight of Venezuela, in his words, could last much longer than a year, and only time will tell how long the U.S. will oversee that country. As a former CIA officer, I know you did three tours in Iraq alongside the U.S. military. What do you see as the implications of a prolonged U.S. engagement in Venezuela?
Well, first of all, I think we just have to acknowledge how what a 180 the president has done on these foreign entanglements. He literally ran on no foreign wars and, you know, complained bitterly about Iraq and Afghanistan. And here he is saying that we own Venezuela and it's going to be years that we're going to be responsible for it. First of all, I don't think there's anyone, Democrat or Republican, who's looking to get into another prolonged conflict. But I also think, like, my experience in Iraq is everything we do militarily, you know, starts off as a limited plan, right? Iraq was going to be short and in and out, Afghanistan, things like Vietnam. So the president, you know, if something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. His idea that this is going to be neat and clean and easy and we're going to make a lot of money from our oil companies, to me, is just a little bit of wishful thinking. And certainly, given our history, not something that the average American is looking to do.
The administration's decision to shift away from supporting Venezuelan opposition figures in favor of working with loyalists to the previous regime, what do you see as the impact of that approach on Venezuela's democracy movement?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the president said over and over, and his folks said over and over, that the government of Venezuela is illegitimate, right? There was an election in 2022. They didn't win. They falsified that election. And so they're not a legitimate government. And now we're working with that illegitimate government. And I think just as importantly for the president's agenda, you know, he's talked about the oil and the oil fields and getting American executives in there. They don't want to do deals with an illegitimate government where they can be, you know, sued afterwards for that contract. So, again, it's confusing to me why the president, who has spent all this time talking about getting rid of that administration, took out Maduro and is now working with this vice president.
On the other hand, the administration argues its Venezuela strategy could revive oil revenues, fracture criminal networks, push back the influence that Russia and China has in the hemisphere. If that turns out to be right, I know Democrats have a lot of issues with the way this was done, but if he turns out to be right, I mean, could this represent a new doctrine of U.S. leadership in Latin America?
Well, I think certainly there's lots of talk in the hallways here that he's really taking sort of an approach where American leadership around the world is not really needed. What we do care about is leadership in the hemisphere, right, in our backyard, and that different countries around the world would have zones of influence. Russia would have Europe as a zone of influence. China would have Asia, and we would have the Western Hemisphere. He's clearly talking about that with the Monroe document. But I think the world is a globalized place, and just because because you're the big heavy in our region doesn't mean that things go right across the world. Now, if terrorists are kicked out or drug networks are dismantled, that's good. That's a great thing, and we like that. But I think this idea that we can just do what we want and do it for the oil, as he said over and over again, is not something that has a great shelf life when you think about other countries doing the same exact thing abroad.
You have described the president's actions in Venezuela as a distraction from domestic priorities like health care, rising housing costs. How should Democrats frame this moment in a way that breaks through and keeps the focus where voters are feeling it the most?
Well, I think, you know, what the president's doing, I've said this before, I have three brothers, and I remember growing up that, you know, they'd wave their hand over here, distract me, and then, like, gut punch me. I think that's what the president is doing with all these foreign entanglements, right? He's gone after 9 different regions of the world militarily, 7 countries, 2 oceans. That's the most any single president has done, you know, a diversity of military operations in their first year. More strikes in his first year than in Joe Biden's 4 years. So he's really a foreign policy president, and I think he's doing that because he doesn't want to talk about domestic issues. He doesn't have a plan for health care. He certainly doesn't have a plan for housing. I just put out something today, and we're all talking about Venezuela, including on this show, and we're not talking about the things that actually capture Americans' interests, which is, can I buy a home? Can I afford health insurance? Can I afford child care, et cetera, et cetera? So he's doing the foreign thing to distract from him having no plan on the domestic side.
And Democrats see an opening?
Well, it's not even just a Democratic thing. It's like he's coming up on his 1-year anniversary when he was sworn in as president, right? He said on his first day he was going to do all these changes on inflation, all these changes on the price of just being a middle-class person in America. Where are we 1 year out? The guy has just not done any of it. It's almost shocking because he's a populist, right? So it's not a Democrat see an opening. The American public is saying, like, why are we talking about Venezuela and Greenland and all these places when my health insurance just doubled, when I can't buy my first home until I'm 45 years old? So it's not just a Democrat-Republican thing. It's just an American thing. And he ran on this very stuff in his campaign, so he should get it.
Democratic Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, thanks again for being with us.
You bet. Thanks.